When it comes to EVE Online, every player wants to know the most effective tactic available. You want to know the meta. The meta controls everything. It determines what will and will not happen. Knowing the meta will alter your views, make you question your reality. It might even make you laugh. And now, you're part of it. You're watching The Meta Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, good afternoon, and good night, depending on where you are around this great globe of ours. You are watching The Meta Show. Today is May the 22nd, 2021. I am Bruce Grabal. I am joined alongside the Mitanni. We decided to go yet again in our cool office mode. We're going to go ahead and let you see behind the curtain. No green screens this week.
Last week's show, I kind of interrupted our normal flow of news with just the sheer amount of Vince McMahon's wrestling herf. And don't worry, guys. Next week, we're going to have that. We're going to have like a whole segment for this stuff. Put it in a nice little box, just like we have for Fountain Frank. But there is a bunch of just straight up news. We're going to cover some of the war stuff that's going on. We are going to be talking about Pearl Abyss and their earnings call. We're going to be talking about the nullification changes. And there's been a lot of CCP controversy. There's been a lot of CCP controversies, so we're going to do a straight up traditional meta show. We haven't had one of these babies in a while, and I am wearing a black shirt. We were all up late fighting last night, so I don't know when the spirit of the herf is going to flow through me. There may be some rants, but let's just get stuck in, baby.
It's
let's
entirely
do this.
Possible. All right, we're going to get started here. All right, we've got, like Mitten said, we have a ton of stuff today. And sometimes we are blessed with having no stuff and we have to make it up. And then there are times when we have lots of stuff and we don't have to make it up. And this is great. And I will say this, Mittens and I are doing it live. We did not have a chance because everybody's been fighting all week on random stuff. We didn't have a chance to do a production meeting. So this is what happens when you have two of the true professionals of the EVE streaming community together, not even talking really more than 5 minutes ahead of the show, and we're going to put together a great show for you guys because that's what we do. We're pros.
Hell yeah.
First thing, I'm on my soapbox. This week, CSM announcement. We finally got to see the number of people that were approved to run by CCP for the CSM. There were 61 players who had put campaign threads up in the campaign announcement area on the Evo forums as required as part of the process for running. And of those 61, 47 of them successfully filled out all the paperwork properly, did everything they needed to do, and were approved by CCP to run. That means 14 of you, unless my math is off, which it probably is because I'm a lawyer, not a mathematician, did not manage to get on the ballot. Now, first of all, that sucks. Let me just tell you, there is absolutely nothing worse for a candidate than to go out, announce that he's running for office, put himself out there publicly, and then not get on the ballot. And I feel especially upset for a number of people who are friends of mine that were running this time that were not allowed to run. I number one would be Extra Squishy, obviously. He has been a friend of mine for a long time since he was in it. I know he has a lot of enemies. That's one of the reasons why he couldn't run. He was too toxic to run this time and was not allowed. And then also my friend Isaac Collins was not allowed to run this time for similar things that he had said in the past. My big issue, and this is the thing that I'm frustrated about more than anything, is the change 2 years ago requiring that you put a campaign post up as part of the application process is just asking to embarrass people unnecessarily. If folks are not able to run, and it wasn't just him, there were other people that didn't get their paperwork in, or at least were not allowed to run. Orin Boridar, some other wormhole guys were not in there. Folks that had announced that we all were expecting in there. Hiwantu, I guess, dropped out before the process went through and he wasn't on the list, but he had put a post up. It's embarrassing It's really embarrassing, CCP, when you ask people to announce that they're running for office and then you tell them that they can't after the fact. You're basically giving them a middle finger and say, oh, sorry, you can't run. And I know, and I raised this internally, and I know based on my conversations with the folks that did not get in that there have been conversations had with them by CCP, but that should have happened first. Don't embarrass these guys. Don't tell everybody you got to announce that you're running, and then we're going to tell you whether you can or not. So I really hope that for next year they can at least change this process and allow some kind of a pre-clearance. Like, if you think you may have a problem, that you ask ahead of time in private and get a confirmation, yeah, you're okay to run, or no, you're not okay to run, because it's total bullshit to force these guys to put themselves out there publicly and then make them look bad if they didn't get it. That's me. And that's the type of thing. That is the type of thing a real life politician goes to bed in hot sweats about, like making sure that you get on the ballot and that you're not embarrassed, because you cannot recover from that. I have a number of friends and ex-friends that fucked up, didn't get their petition signatures done properly, and ended up not getting on the ballot, including a congressman that I was pretty close to in Michigan. And it was a real giant pain in the ass, because you spend time, you do all this work, you run for office, you get elected, and then you fuck up and you don't even get on the ballot, and you got to run a write-in campaign or something. It's just crazy. Don't embarrass people. That's my big thing. That's my soapbox for this week. There are 47 candidates running for CSM. There are a ton of people out there on all sides. You have more block candidates running this year than I've seen in a long time. I will say I was very amused at the CCP announcement stream, how many people were really salty at how many goons decided they wanted to run this year. That made me laugh. But again, we will have the slate of state-approved candidates here eventually, and we will get that out and let you guys see that. But I'll tell you this right now. The process needs to encourage people to run, not discourage them. And basically publicly embarrassing people is not the best way to encourage them to run. That's my soapbox. I'm shutting up now on that.
I want to get in here and agree with you. And I'm going to say things that I don't think Brisk would be comfortable bringing up here. Keep in mind that Brisk was smeared by these people fucking up an investigation in front of the entire goddamn game. And if CCP didn't have this track record of fucking up, tarnishing people's names inappropriately, running them through the court of public opinion like a fucking perp walk, and then lo and behold, CCP is as good at managing people's reputations on the CSM situation, about as well as they are managing blackouts, drifters, nullification changes, scarcity in the economy. I could go on. But it is ridiculous. Like, now everybody that had the balls, like, hey, guess what, guys? If you want to run for the CSM and you put yourself out there, you might randomly get told with no explanation and no public explanation as to why you have been disqualified. And then you have a cloud of suspicion over your head. And a lot of people aren't built like the way that I am, right? Like, people can scream for my blood and, you know, wizard hat, space Hitler, all the things that probably say, and I don't care. But most human beings don't really like that. And it is a huge disincentive for people. If you want people to get involved in your spaceship student council, if you want these guys to get out there, maybe you should dot your fucking I's and cross your fucking T's before people actually risk their real world reputations getting involved in trying to help you not fuck up the game the way that you keep fucking it up. The CSM is there for a reason. The CSM exists because CCP developers were caught cheating and colluding with Band of Brothers. And the CSM was added as a mechanism, as a check against corruption. Now, of course, there's been a lot of PR bullshit over the years from CCP saying, gosh, guys, it's just, isn't it great? Iceland, world's oldest democracy, and we're doing this, all the stuff. The reason why the CSM exists is because CCP got caught with their hands in the fucking cookie jar. And the fact that these motherfuckers are out there insisting that people sign up to try to join the Space Student Council. And then, oh gosh, now that your name is out there, now that people know that you're running, oh, well, you know, gee, we're just not going to say anything about why you're off the CSM. It is shameful. It is shameful. And in an environment where right now the players are doing their level best to get CCP to back off a fucking cliff on some courageous, changes, some brave changes, some daring changes. Oh, my.
You remember last week courageous. Where we explained what that means to you guys.
Little Sir Humphrey references are going to get in here. But yeah, so it's a sham. It's ridiculous. If you want to get the players to risk trying to help you not fuck up the game, one, you should listen to them when they're on the fucking Space Council. Two, before they get on the Space Council, try not to ruin their reputations. Three, when they are on the Space Council, try not to ruin their reputations. Because you can't seem to manage to keep your mouths fucking shut and handle things. You have a legal team. You have a general counsel. Utilize your fucking lawyers or you're going to be in deep shit just like you were with Risk. Stop fucking around, assholes. That's it.
Smug-o-meter off the charts.
Anyway,
it wasn't even about Pappy this time.
I feel bad for Extra Squishy. I feel bad for all of these guys who actually, I don't even know what their fucking, I don't even know what their platforms are or whatever, but it is dumb as fuck that CCP is trying to promote this thing and get people to go out there. It's not like they haven't fucked this up before, very publicly, for my co-host. Briss can't talk about this shit, but I can. They fucked up. They stepped in it. Their lawyers should be fucking pissed about the liabilities that they are risking continuing to screw with people's reputations, casting aspersions. Get your shit correct, guys. Just follow a fucking checklist. Do your goddamn due diligence. Run it through your lawyers. Act like a bunch of fucking adults, because right now, the way the player base feels as a whole, forget the fucking war stuff, the way that the player base as a whole feels, it's not in a great place right now. You guys are not really going like, oh, wow, everybody really loves the way CCP is handling things with this nullification shit and the cloaking shit and the scarcity shit and all this other dumb crap. And then insult to injury. Oh, gee, get a bunch of people to stick their necks out to publish their platforms. And after publishing their platforms, then, gee, mysteriously, you're just going to tell the EVE Online player base to not throw shit at each other because somebody got nuked off the cancel. These guys are all going to be accused of RMT, of botting, of any slander in the universe going forward. And most of these guys are nice people. You know, they care what other people think. Like, it will hurt them. It will humiliate them. It is unfair that this has happened. It is not okay. Apologize. CCB should fucking apologize for this shit. Fix your shit. If you're gonna have a fucking council of stellar management, you fucking use it right and you treat the fucking people that are trying to help you fix your shit correctly. I was very quiet and calm last week when we were talking about the nullification changes. When it came to the nullification changes, I was saying CCP needs to back this off slowly. You know, there's no reason for the players to throw stones. You know, they kind of stepped in with this, but the reasonable and rational thing for the CCP devs to do is to iterate on these changes quietly and sort of back off the more bits on the nullification. And credit to CCP on that. They have kind of sort of tweaked things and mitigated stuff and, like, you know, yachts can cloak and nullify again and whatever. But this CSM shit is fucking unacceptable, especially in an environment where the player base is having trust issues with the company as it stands. Apologize. That's it.
All right. So we're done with the CSM part. That was pretty heavy. I was going to suggest we go into war stuff, but I think we're going to keep this going because I want to talk about the CCP related stuff first. Then we can talk about war stuff later. Maybe Mittens will have calmed down by then.
Maybe.
I don't think so. All right, top story is going to be nullification, AFK cloaky camping, the MER, and EVE Academy, all announced, I should say, this week. All right, so as I noted before, the first thing that happened this week was we got the nullification changes. They went live on Tuesday. Was that a surprise to you guys? Because it sure as hell seemed like it. Because I tell you this right now, the amount of what they already did this that I heard from the community this week was pretty out of control. As you guys saw, we talked about it last week. They had put nullification changes on CC, changes to the warp core stabs and how they worked, making these active modules that you have to fit on the ship. Warp core stabs, you could before. They reduced the number that you could put on to one. And they only allow plus two to warp core integrity. And then on the nullification side, they were originally a low slot. They changed it to a high slot. They've restricted the number of ships that it could be on and those types of things. But it was only on CC for a week. And I think everybody was of the opinion that this was going to be a little bit longer. It was going to take a little bit longer to get through the process on CC. And then they would announce it and it was going to come live to TQ and they would precede some of the modules so people could get them and people that were docked in stations where they couldn't leave because there were no fittings, they would fix that, and they would deal with all kinds of other issues of guys being trapped behind the lines and ships that were nullified one day and not nullified the next day, and they didn't have a way to get a module, that all that stuff would be addressed, and it wasn't. It was pushed out on the TQ very quickly. Now, I heard a number of complaints, and I'm going to tick through the complaints that I think we have heard the most of. Many of these are legitimate. Some of them are not so much, but many of these are legitimate. The first was, this felt rushed. It was only a week on CC. That was the amount of testing that was done was basically just a 5 or 6 days. And of that time, they made multiple changes to the module based on feedback. Now, I think that's a good thing, but many players viewed that as, obviously, this wasn't ready for prime time because we made so many changes after the fact. Why did they push it out so early? Second, modules were not seeded, which is typically surprising, is when you make changes like this, they've given a couple of days before the change goes live for the modules to be out there so people could go get them so that when the change goes through, they could put them on the ships immediately and they wouldn't have to go find where these were. They did not choose to do that this time. Third, another thing that has been common is when they take something and that's all, like a ship feature and they turn it into a module, there's sometimes, well, they'll give you like a meta zero, lowest level, cheapest version of it for free. They'll just stick it in your cargo, or they'll make it a daily login campaign reward for that day, that everybody gets one for free just so that there's no issues with people saying that I don't have access to one or I can't find one. They didn't do that this time either. There was a definite issue on the warp core stab side. Because you could only fit one of these to your ship, any ship that had more than one fitted would not be allowed to undock, which is typically what they do when your fits are screwed up. And unfortunately, there are plenty of players that were either in uncored structures that don't allow for fitting, or were in Pochvin in a station that they didn't have standings to use the fitting changes, the fitting tools, so that they were essentially stuck. And that forced CCP to tell everybody, well, if this happened to you, put a stuck ticket in and we'll get you out of there and we'll move you to a place where you can take stuff off. That sucks. It basically puts a lot of pressure on the GM team to have to fix it. And a lot of players were stuck and they couldn't do anything. And that was frustrating. When this launched, there were still issues that had not been addressed. For the first part, the Goru's shuttle was forgotten. So there was no nullification on that. The tooltip for all of the shuttles was not updated to include nullification, so people weren't sure if their shuttles were nullified without testing it out. I tested it out immediately, was fine, but it wasn't in the tooltip, and that frustrated some people because they thought that was a pretty common thing that should have been done. And one of the meta modules still allows stealth bombers to fit it, and it took about 24 hours before that change was reversed, even though it had been announced and pulled off all of the other modules on CC before this was pushed out. Now, some of the concerns that players had in terms of the speed, in terms of, oh my goodness, this wasn't shipped right and it didn't work, and we still don't like the way that it feels, and people are still concerned about the deactivation timer, they're still worried about the delay, about the length of it, and those types of things. Those criticisms, I think, are less valid than the ones I just listed, because that's all stuff that CCP needs to look at on the live server. They can't get that data from you're not going to set up gate camps on CC and then test this out in a real world environment. So they need to have actual player data to make some of these changes. And they've made it clear they're going to iterate, but given the fact that so much stuff was busted on the front end, this has really kind of soured the player base on this change already. And I think a lot of people that would have been more than willing to give it a shot now think it's shitty and they don't like it, and they're just, this was awful and the whole thing was messed up and the CCP's QA is awful and they're not listening anymore, and I think that's bad. And Boss, you were telling me of concerns that you guys had about the way this was rolled out in terms of like the big space groups and what they're actively doing. So why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Look, this is the sandbox MMO, right? Like there is no other big ass sandbox out there, anything quite like EVE Online. And by rushing this shit out here, they have disrespected the sandbox itself. And I don't say that lightly. And I want to dive into that a little bit. When you rush something through, you have a test server for a reason. You have a CSM for a reason. You have a fucking legal department for a reason to make sure you don't step in piles of liability. When you ignore those systems, when you ignore the processes that are set up to prevent these kind of idiocies, you are disrespecting the sandbox. A player who is not paying attention to the latest, you know, a lot of newsflash CCP, the vast bulk of your customers do not read every goddamn dev blog that comes down the pipe, right? And when one day somebody logs on and they can't fit their ship, they can't undock their ship because stabs got nerfed or there's a limit on them, or if you had deployed into hostile space in a nullified ship and suddenly everything is busted and you didn't get the memo, it has fucked over the gameplay of a lot of players by surprise. And worse than, gee, you caught them by surprise, you didn't even do the due diligence of trying to get people notified to get the feedback from the players. Like, you know, ramming this shit through so fast on top of these other recent mistakes is just amateur hour. And it goes back to what I was saying before. You have a CSM, fucking listen to them. You have a test server, fucking use it. This is not rocket science. CCP has been a going concern since before EVE Online launched. So before 2003, CCP, an active and engaged company. These mistakes that we are seeing today are the kind of developer mistakes that you would expect from a company that just released their first game. The only reason why we are in this situation is because whoever is currently in charge at CCP and saying press the fucking button on this stuff has decided to ignore the usual process, to not check the boxes, to not consult with the players, to either ignore the CSM or not consult with them. I don't know what the fuck. Clearly, they are not using the system that they are currently advertising to the players to participate in. But if you do participate in that system by trying to apply for the CSM, you might get publicly cast under a cloud of suspicion because, again, this is just some amateur. Like, look, guys, I don't like to have the meta show be a big shit on CCB thing. I'm a big thing on carrots and sticks. When CCB does good things, I want to publicly reward them and say, hey, look, guys, they're doing good here. Have a fucking cookie. Have a gold star. We want to see more of this.
We're going to get to that in a second.
And we do have some nice things to say. But, and you know, you saw that last week, like in a situation where they have made an error, but it's not an unsalvageable error, like with a nullification announcement where last week they could have, you know, they started backing things off and tweaking things or whatever. But I mean, come on, guys, fucking come on. This is amateur hour. This is inexcusable. Like there is no way that I can get up here in front of everybody who watches this show and act like, oh, well, you know, like last week, legitimate, like, hey, CCB can back this off. They can iterate on the nullification things or whatever, but them just flipping tables over and having people trapped in space because they couldn't keep it in their fucking pants for long enough to talk to the CSM, to talk to the players, to maybe use the goddamn test server. Like it is a completely, and this is important, guys. This is a situation where we are dealing with the aftermath of a completely optional, unforced error. And the company has no excuse. They have been in the game development industry for a very long time now. They have had similar scandals and issues before. I actually can't really remember a time where they flipped a table and they did something that left people trapped in space like this. Like this is a doozy. Like, you know, normally speaking, like, you know, you can say they did dumb shit in Karna. They've done, you know, boot.ini or whatever. But like the fact that they chose to do this and just get it out there is,
well, and that's,
I got nothing. I can't silver lining it.
The only thing that I can say is that at least none of this was irreversible, you know, and it's not like, fine, you lose a 70 million interceptor. Okay. That sucks. and you get stuck and you got to wait for a half an hour until the stuck team fixes. That sucks. It wasn't anything that was so huge that I think anybody that got stuck with one of these bugs was going to quit the game over. But it does cause a lot of players to question what the rush was. Why did this need to get done so quickly? And absent some explanation, or at least something coming back and saying, guys, here's the process, here's what we did, here's why we did it, and the like, which is what you get if you take a little bit of extra time and you go out and you do some of the shows or you do a CCP TV discussion over these changes. And obviously, nullification, big deal. It was a huge deal when it was put in the game. And I mean, if you remember back then, and this was seven or eight years ago now, it was huge. People were, oh, this is going to be the worst thing ever. It's going to be too easy to move around. Oh my God, gate camps are never, nobody's going to gate camp anymore because they, what's the point? None of that came to be. And I think a lot of the complaints now of this is overpowered, this is horrible, why do we do this? This doesn't make any sense. And then giving those of us on the CSM who have advocated for changes in nullification, which includes me, that we get crapped on, oh, this was your idea. Why did you tell these guys? Then they went and messed it up. At the end of the day, we want them to continue working on the game. We want them to continue making changes. We want them to tweak the things that we don't like. But when you're making a change that is this substantial, there was such feeling about it within the community, it probably behooves everybody to take a little bit of extra time and at least explain why you're doing what you're doing outside of a dev blog, which they did. And there has been not a lot of discussion otherwise. And I think that's what I have suggested internally that they do, and I think that's what they could have done now. But right now, we're stuck with it. It's in the game. I hope that players will look at it, test it out. And I hate to say that, but unfortunately, you know, with some of these changes, you can't really get a feel for how they're going to be used in a big fleet fight, for instance, or any of those types of things until it's on TQ. It's been on for a couple days. Get the feedback. Get it to me. Get it to the other CSMs. We'll pass it on. And if changes need to be made, I'll continue advocating for them. And that's the bottom line. Now, good things. Two good things. Well, all right. One good thing and one thing that could be good, maybe, if they don't fuck it up. How about that? I'll be fair. I'm being fair. All right. The first good thing, EVE Academy was announced this week. For those of you who were not paying attention, I will pull it up and show you the website here. Give me 1 second to find my notes and click on them. So one of the things that we have had a lot of concerns about and discussions about has been the new player experience. And one of the difficulties that there is, here it is, let me pull it up now. Here is my utility screen. That when you're trying to teach new players about EVE Online, you're trying to get them in there, where can they go to just read about stuff? Where can they go to just see what's new and how to get started and what to try to do and videos and tips and fits and all kinds of stuff? They finally put this together. It's a curated site. It's going to be curated. It's got tons of community resources. It has links to a lot of different places that have better information that are updated. It talks about all kinds of different stuff. And it's not just there's a little bit of advertising, but not a lot. The whole point is, finally, players have been asking for this for a while. Ever since the old EVE Wikipedia went away, they've asked for something like this so that new players had a chance to have have updated, accurate information about the way the game is, how to play, how to get started, so that if they get stuck, they at least there's somewhere they can go. This was CCP Aurora's baby. She's been working on this for a while. The rest of the community team has been working on this. I'm pleased that it finally launched. I think this is going to be helpful to new players. So I'm looking forward to seeing if they use it. And I'm also looking forward to make sure that they actually update the thing. I know that some of the industry stuff and some of the warp core stabs and nullification stuff had not been updated yet in some of the community fits that were on there. And that was quickly taken care of. But having something curated that's accurate for an 18-year-old game and that's done by the company and not by the community, I think that's a good thing. So attaboy CCP for doing this. I think it's long overdue. So there, we were nice.
I can be nice. I want to give them a path to victory, right? And you know, who knows? Maybe CCP won't listen to this because I said mean words about them. But you know, I do think that CCB kind of needs help in understanding how to get out of a PR scandal because they clearly don't really get it. So I'm just going to spell out the path to victory for CCB for how to like get out of the shit and like real talk and not like screaming herf blurf. In many cases, all you just have to do is say that you're sorry and acknowledge that you fucked up. Right. Like that's in many cases that will take a lot of the sting out of it. You can just get in front of the player base and say, look, guys, we moved too fast on this. We shouldn't have done the thing we did with the CSM. We know that things have been a little rocky lately and we're going to try to do a better job. And then you got to actually like do it. Like you have to have some actions to back it up. You need to listen to the CSM. You need to listen to the players. You need to actually use the Singularity server for something. Yeah, but like there is a path here. It's like the nullification changes, they actually started going the way that I suggested on the show last week, which is, you know, just like, okay, well, they kind of stepped in it, but if they sort of back it off and iterate on it and work on it and listen to feedback and whatever, then people can get to a place where they're not being insulted. One of the reasons why the players are so angry is at a fundamental level, they feel disrespected, and rightfully so, because there are few things as disrespectful as what they're messing with on the sandbox without checking things on the test server, without consulting with player representatives, just rushing this shit through. And, you know, again, it has to be followed up on. But if you just get out there, if you get a CCB person out there or dev blogger, say, and like, just like, look, guys, sorry, right? Start with sorry and then back it up with actions, because sorry in and of itself ain't gonna do it. But it doesn't have to be a big controversy, because all that CCB needs to do is acknowledge they done stepped in it and that they're going to take some time to reconsider their actions and go through the normal process. And almost all of the player base will be cool with that, because it is so rare to see CCP actually admit when they done fucked up. And so people are going to be willing to give the company credit if they can find the stones to do that. Now, the risk is that, gosh, we can't be wrong. Ooh, we have thin skins. Ooh, we're going to lock down and act like nothing is wrong. Like, Iceland can be a fairly passive aggressive place in general, small island, you know, stuff like that in the middle of the North Atlantic. But I really think that instead of just trying to act like this is going to go away, all they really would have to do is say, look, guys, we screwed up. We're sorry. We acknowledge specifically how they screwed up and actually do better. And then we can move on and collectively, because everybody wants EVE to be a thriving, successful game. Everybody that doesn't have poop for brains wants CCP to make money so we can continue enjoying the game and developing the game and having it go in a place that the players want. So in addition to scolding CCP, I just want to say, guys, all you really got to do to get out of the situation, make the player base give you another chance is, and it's happened before when CCP has finally been pushed to the wall because they hate apologizing. They hate apologizing and,
that,
and they
I
hate
I agree with that. I'm one of the very rare fault. People that got an apology mm-hmm. out of them. So mm-hmm. It's not something mm-hmm. they do lightly.
It's true. I apologize for shit all the time because I fuck up all the time because everybody fucks up all the time. And you don't have to be a baby back bitch about it. You can just go, yep, sorry, I screwed that up. This is what I did wrong.
I do that every week with the show. Yeah, I know I push a button wrong every week.
You know, you don't have to be a coward about fucking up because everybody fucks up. Mistakes happen. Where it gets weird is if you try to act like you didn't fuck up. I mean, it's clear to the entire player base that fuck-ups have now occurred from CCB with these recent changes. So just acknowledge it. Be a bigger company about it. Act like a fucking adult. Own your mistakes. Apologize for them and try to do better. And if you do that, the players will stop throwing rotten tomatoes at you. So that's my little help there. Just follow that and you really aren't going to go wrong. Like, now, just say you're sorry. Try to do better.
And that's the thing. So we have a chance for them to try to do better because they announced another major thing this week. And we're going to go into that now. And that is after years. And when I say years, I'm not talking like a year or 2 years. I'm talking like 15 years of complaining about AFK Clokey Camping. They are finally putting together a fix to the issue. Now, pull this up on the screen here. I'll run it through. They're calling them mobile observatories. These were teased 4 or 5 years ago. Nothing really came about it, but they have pulled these back out and they're in the process of working with these. They're live on Singularity right now. Basically, what I'll walk you through what they basically do. So Cloaky camping is a thing. It has been a thing for a long time. It is part of the game. There is nothing inherently wrong with it. There's nothing inherently wrong with using cloaks to hunt targets. There's nothing wrong with using cloaks to sit on a grid and watch a fight and stream it for your friends for 15 hours. There's nothing inherently wrong with any of the play that has evolved and created and become a thing. The emergent gameplay of cloaking since the cloaking device was added to the game a long, long time ago. There's nothing wrong with that. But the biggest complaint that I have seen from folks over the years is that it's possible for someone who is not at their keyboard, who is AFK, to have a massive impact on the decision-making process of whether someone who is playing the game decides to play the game right now or not. Now, we can say all we want about Care Bears. We can say all we want about risk-averse crabs. We can say all we want about people who don't want to take a risk that they may get dropped on. The reality is, it's not fun to log in to space that you own or that you have rented and say, I'm going to go do what I want to do right now, and have a random person that you can't tell whether they're there hunting you actively or whether they're going to be there from downtime till, and you never know if they're there or not, and you have no way to do anything with it. You have no way to impact them at all. You have no way to know if they're even active or not. So the tool here that was created, these mobile observatories, I think is pretty targeted, and it seems focused primarily on the AFK player and giving the person who is physically present at least one tool, some agency, to take out the player that is AFK. So what do these do? You drop one of these things. They cost about 40 million ISK right now. They don't have a lot of EHP, maybe 30,000, I think, is what I saw on CC. So you can blow them up relatively easy. You drop them. They online. It's a 10-minute online cycle. And then once it onlines after that 10 minutes, for the next hour and 40 minutes, every 10 minutes, it sends out a ping, one ping only, Vasily, across the entire system that has a 40% chance to decloak anybody that's cloaked, friend or foe, on the grid. And the whole idea behind it is active players who are paying attention have multiple tools that they can use to get around this. They can warp off to a safe, cloak and recloak. There is they have added something to the cloaking process where after you cloak, you are immune to these pings for 15 minutes. So as long as you're cloaking and recloaking, you're moving around the grid, you're out there hunting, you're being active, you're physically sitting there, you see that this thing is online, and when it's dropped, it shows up on the overview, you can warp to it. It makes it possible for players who are active and paying attention to deal with AFK cloaky camping in a way that it doesn't really have a huge, huge impact on all of the other stuff that we do for cloaks. Now, that statement I just made is open to controversy, okay? There are a lot of people who think it's going to have a big impact on active players. They think it's that the 15 minutes is not long enough. They're concerned that this whole thing is going to be useless. From one side, the crabs think it's going to be useless because it's going to be too expensive and it's not going to be... It's too easy to blow up, and we're not going to really get any use out of it. The hunters on the other side are going to say, these guys are going to drop 1,000 of these, and it's going to ping all the time, and it's guaranteed that you're unpinged, and you have to get off grid, and you have to warp away, and nobody's going to do that. I had a long conversation with one of my dear, dear friends who is convinced that this is going to end stealth bomber use in big fleet fights because the bad guys will be able to drop these in a variety of places, wrap bubbles around them, and make it hard to get in and kill the things. And I think a lot of these questions are questions that we're not going to be able to solve until it's in the game. But this is a perfect chance, I think, as Mittens was saying, for CCP to take a step, look at this, recognize this is controversial, look at all the things, all the player feedback, test things out on the test server, and then make sure that when it does go live, that they're seeded, that nobody's going to have any issues in terms of the cloaks not working properly or any of that kind of thing, so that when it launches, it's a clean launch, and we finally can get some kind of a solution to AFK camping out the door. And again, I don't think the issue... I know other people think that there are a variety of other things that are problematic with cloaky camping. I hear, the covert sino is the real issue. That's what they should be fixing. But for me, The number one thing is it's the AFK part. As long as they fix the AFK part, I think everything else is fine. But they need to do, and what I advocated for on the CSM was, no matter what you do about this, you're going to piss somebody off, but you absolutely should not be killing any significant play styles with this change. And I think they did a pretty good job of threading that needle. I know that there are some issues out there still, but that's what we got to work on. This is a perfect test case. After the nullification blow up, if this is done properly, this could be rolled out and could be good, and it could help players have a little bit more faith in CCP, especially that they're willing to tackle an issue that has been such a major issue for so long and doing it in a way that is different from what players had suggested over time, but that still seems to solve the problem and is narrowly tailored enough that I don't think it's going to hit a lot of the big issues that we see with some of these fixes. This is the best example of like a targeted surgical fix as opposed to the sledgehammer nerfs we normally see, that I was just pleased that they put that out there.
Yeah, I have sort of a little bit more nuance than rant on the cloaking issue. So just so everybody knows my history on this before I offer my take on it. The first organization that I built in EVE Online before I was even CEO of Goonswarm was GIA Black Ops, which was later, what was actually the first weaponized cloaky camping entity in the game. Back when Tad Ghostel and his Pilgrim and the boys, Alcatel and those guys, just wreaked havoc. And so cloaky camping is near and dear to my heart. Black Ops has always been a huge part of Goonswarm. And so this is sticky. And one of the reasons why it's sticky is I believe in that there should be counterplay, right? If somebody does something, you should be able to do something against it, right? It's one of the reasons why, remote doomsday AoE Titans back in the day were so awful, is no counterplay. Hey, somebody pops a Sino and
everybody's
teenagers have poor job. Right, exactly.
Or disconnected.
Mm-hmm. So one of the challenges that a professional company managing a game like EVE Online needs to handle is the fact that it is an old game. And that means that there are a lot of mechanics from the early days of EVE Online that simply don't really work well in 2021 gameplay. There are certainly niche groups of people that are interested in like playing EverQuest 99 or the old hardcore style, but in some of these cases they're just not really that cool anymore. What worked in 2003 doesn't necessarily work in 2021. Am I a fan of asset safety? Not really. Am I a fan of nullification? Nope. Cloaky camping is something that, for a long time, when I was the chairman of the CSM, one of the proposals that we were discussing as part of Intel and recon upgrades being added into iHubs, right? To have the whole sensor network thing where an alliance could upgrade its space to like turn local chat on and to have like cloaky pings and things like that. Because I think that cloaks are an important and core part of spaceships, right? Because cloaking devices are just part of sci-fi spaceship war. But I also believe that for every action that you take, people should be able to counteract that one way or another, or at least have options to counter it. And I also think that players that are at the keys should be rewarded. So I don't really have a problem with this so far. And I think that this is a good opportunity for CCP to show that they can avoid fucking it up like they fucked up the nullification stuff and the CSM stuff to and the stab stuff, and to just try to do it right. Because, even if you're somebody who built an entire organization based around AFK cloaky camping your enemies to death, that was 15 years ago, 16 years ago, like whatever. Times have changed. And I think that play should have counterplay. And I think that active players should be engaged. Now, are these specific like tweaks and mechanics? I'm not gonna back any particular one of these specific mechanics, because I think CCP should talk to the CSM. They should talk to the players. They should test it on CZ. They should go through the process to find a way that the player base can find something that, and even if the player base doesn't agree on it, like just go through the process. And I don't think this is all that bad, what we're seeing so far. So, Agreed. Whatever.
So I'm looking forward to that. Like I said, there's a handful of things that I had on my list, on Brist's list, that I never thought were going to get off of it. AFK cloaking camping was one of those things, and we're getting a fix. The low sec gate sustain, it looks like that's going to be a thing. Little things like that. I'm very pleased that so many of these things that players have been talking about for so long are finally getting addressed. Now, we're running out of time. We still got a ton of shit to go through. I'm gonna jump ahead.
Let's do it, man.
We have the MER stuff. We might do that. We might not. We'll get to the war stuff because I don't want to leave without talking about war stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I want to do very quickly, because this is very, very fast, I'm going to do piercing the corporate veil. We're going to talk about the PA earnings statement. Get that out of the way because it's been like 3 weeks. And then we'll get back and start talking war stuff. So here we go. All right. So PA earnings call was 3 weeks ago now. There's good news and there's bad news. The good news is EVE Online made about $15.5 million in the first quarter of 2021. That is a 23.1% increase in revenue compared to first quarter of 2020, which was one of the worst quarters that EVE had done since PA bought the company back in 2018. The most interesting thing, I think, on here, and I'm going to show you guys some of these figures. If you notice, one of the things I am concerned about is Black Desert's revenue is dropping pretty significantly, whereas EVE's revenue has gone up or stayed about the same. That makes me worried that PA is going to start relying more on EVE than they have in the past because their flagship is not doing as well as it was, and they're still waiting to get Crimson Desert, the big talked about release that's supposed to be another version of Black Desert, like a new version of Black Desert out, and they haven't done that yet. So if you look at this, in terms of revenue by platform, the PC numbers are really high, and that's a flip because just a couple months ago, they were getting a ton of money off the mobile games. The mobile Black Desert was a huge deal, and it's not so much anymore. If you look over here, you've got a ton of revenue coming in region by region that's coming in outside of the Korean market, the Asian market. That was their big thing. Right now, more than half is coming from North America and the EU. That is, this is unprecedented for this company that they're doing worse in the Asian market than they had been in the American market, which is just you don't see that very often with Pearl Abyss. So that is doxing myself. Let me fix that. I hope that wasn't there the whole time, but anyway. This was, I think, an interesting call. The only other thing that I thought was interesting to talk about in terms of the PA call was that you had that Korea is Asian, but they break Korea
out. It's a Korean company. That's why they do that, guys. Come on.
They talk about EVE's first-person shooter being worked on by the London studio for the first time in this call. I was surprised at that because that's the first time they've even acknowledged, at least that I can recall on one of these calls, that that is really a thing. So that's good. Maybe that means it's making progress and we'll hear something about it. We don't even know what it's called anymore. They scrubbed the Project Nova name, so I don't know what we're just calling it the sci-fi first-person shooter worked on by the London office. That's what it is. So the fact that they mentioned that was kind of interesting. That's all I got. You got anything on that, Mittens?
I mean, we just got to wait and see, right? Like, we want Pearl Abyss to make money because we like the fact that, well, we like the fact that they didn't intervene in the way that CCP was going. I don't really... Things are strange. It's hard to predict how this could go. Ideally speaking, we would like everybody to be making money and be happy. Obviously, as the players of EVE Online, we'd be concerned that if Pearl Abyss starts losing revenue from BDO and there are other things, that they would have more of an incentive to try to meddle with CCP because CCP is making money. And for a long time now, we've all been, gosh, we don't want Pearl Abyss meddling in things. But does Pearl Abyss know how to use their test server? Does Pearl Abyss listen to player feedback? I don't know because I don't play BDO.
I don't think they really have a CSM. I'll tell you.
Yeah, but like, you know, it would normally be we want them to make money because there's less risk of them intervening in CCP. We would like CCP to stop flipping tables over and actually, you know, acknowledge the process of professional game development. Yeah, but this is significant, guys. We do need to keep an eye on this because just the incentives are more aligned for better or for worse that if Pearl Abyss's other revenue sources start going down, that they will be paying more attention to what is bringing in cash. And if that is CCP, then naturally speaking, you would expect more business oversight, more intervention and such. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? We will see.
We shall see.
But yeah, it is... This is... you know, I know some people like to tune out on the whole earnings report and stuff, but like behind the scenes, this is really kind of where the rubber hits the road is, are they making money? Who's making money? Who's not making money? Which way are the trend lines going? So this is a pretty significant quarterly report, something that we should keep eyes on.
There you go. All right. You ate your meat. Now you get your pudding. We're going to NullSec Power Hour. Talk about the war.
Mm-mm-mm.
It has been 1 month since our dear friend Gobbins announced the siege of 1DQ was beginning. April the 24th, 2021, was the Pandemic Horror Town Hall in which he started talking about it.
Oh, wait, they're sieging 1DQ1 for a month. Gosh.
It's been a month. What, pray tell?
Wow.
Have they managed to do? Well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Have they killed any structures in 1DQ1 proper? No.
Mm-mm.
Have they hacked any of the iHubs in any of the constellations that we around 1DQ, that a constellation that has includes 1DQ and all the systems around it that we have?
They tried.
At least they tried.
Mr. Fourth Place's catchphrase.
His favorite phrase. We have seen fight after fight after fight. They have steadfastly maintained they will not need, therefore they will not use, supercaps and titans to do any of this work. And the result is, like we saw last night, I'll throw it up on the screen. We had a major battle on a Friday night fights, major battle in the systems throughout this area. Now, ETAC-V is their one of their entrance systems. It is in fake queries. It is right next to the our Delve pocket that we have left. If you notice this is pretty significant. Prime time, Friday night fight, and the numbers are almost even. That is huge, my friends. That is huge. Now, you're looking at this and you're saying, well, they killed 180 billion ISK worth of your stuff and you only killed 140 billion ISK worth of theirs. That is true. But, we're at home. We're at home. And we're building stuff left and right. And I would, if we had time, I would go through the MER, but we don't. We'll do it next week. We're building stuff left and right. We're using all of our supers, all of our caps, every time we possibly can. We're throwing fighters like mad at these guys. We're bringing bodies. We're getting folks in. We're getting numbers close to even. And Mittens, what have you always said about what happens when the numbers are close to even?
That we win? That's right. And I think we seem to be winning these strategic objectives. Now, I don't know. I'm just going to spell this out. There are certain windows of opportunity to attack, and the flash form has become Pispy's favorite way of doing things. I want to tell everybody here, so you don't have to wait until the fireside tomorrow. There is a counter to flash forms, and that's to tell everybody to be around and on deck and manning the walls and watching for pings an hour before our vulnerabilities open, because Piggles and Headliners think that they can win this war with Harpies. And maybe they can. I expect to be invaded by tons more Harpies in the coming days. I think it'll be delightful. But what happened on Thursday, see, again, guys, 2-day lag for iHub things. They want to get in and they will start these fights, bringing in all their hacking command ships, and they're all getting ready to hack. And then we blow them up, and then they pivot in their pings to say, hey, it's Friday night fights, guys. We're just doing this for the good fights, because that's what it was all for, because we shut down their hack and we fought them in a classic Great War style meat grinder. There is nothing in this universe that Goonswarm enjoys more than a meat grinder in a hell war. We get to break out all the old favorites. I was digging back to Sabaton. I was digging back to Clindathau Drop. I was going old school. And Great War vets know what's up. Delta Squad brought some fucking sacks.
I love it when you pull the Clindathau Drop in the pings.
And it's funny because the summer children will be like, well, you know, they lost that, guys. It's like, it doesn't matter, guys. This is old school hell war shit. It's gone very well. And I'm very proud of our guys, because, you know, the big, amazing Piggle strategy is always Flash Forum. Well, guys, here's what we're going to be doing for the next couple of weeks is an hour before our vulnerabilities open in USTZ every day. And until 3:30 Eve when our vulnerabilities close, we're just going to hang out and keep eyes on because this is their big move. Flash Forum, try to run in and get past our defenses. So, hey, guys, be on guard. There will be a ping every day before our vulnerabilities open saying be around because Piggles does the same shit all day, every day because... he can't admit he's wrong or learn from his mistakes. So I'm really happy with this. Headliner and crew came at us on Monday. They came at us on Friday, and we shut them down hard. And in addition, we shut them down on Thursday. This was fun. I love this. So check this out. Thursday, we told everybody to be eyes on. I sent pings warning everybody, you know, they're going to do a sneak attack like they always do. And we hung out in Capital Command playing Cards Against Humanity, me and the other FCs, me and the FCs. Make it very clear, I have no idea what I'm doing when I'm commanding a spaceship.
They're going to jump on you for that one.
Yeah, don't let me bubble anything. And they didn't send any pings for any real fleets for more than 8 hours. At 3:45 p.m. Wisconsin time, they sent their last real fleet out in Euro time zone on a Thursday. And then we're sitting there waiting for them. And it was dead fucking silence while other FCs were there because we knew they were going to try a sneak attack. They did the exact thing that they were planning on Thursday. They did it on Friday. And credit to the fucking Imperium. You guys were able to immediately respond. You were manning the walls and watching for this because they have this one move and they're going to do it every single day that they have an opportunity. So every day, about an hour before our vulns open, eyes on, watch for pings, have a combat ship logged in. If you really want to be Herf Boarfin, work on your F2. And I'm going to encourage you to do that. But the counter to their big surprise attack strategy is tell the Imperium that their strategy is a flash form surprise attack. And then, gosh, guys, for some reason, it doesn't work out quite a well, which is why you wasted Thursday entirely. We stopped you on Friday. We stopped you on the Monday previous to that. It's just getting started. I'm just really delighted. And the fights are fun, too. I'm glad that these fucking pispy people have finally decided to bring it and grind and reship because we can do this all day. We can do this all night. We can do this for years. This is the kind of fight that Goonswarm was created for. This is our jam, the attrition meat grinder, to kill, die, kill, repeat. So it's nice. I'm glad they're bringing it. I'm glad they're finally bringing it. I'm also glad that we're winning, and I'm glad that they're whining about Isk War. I mean, hey, if you want a gold star, Friday night fights, wow, you killed 30 or 40 billion more stuff than us. That's great. You didn't get your hacks through. You didn't get your sneak attack through, and we know what you were planning because you telegraph your moves and you do the same thing all the time. So if the Pispy guys, you go, sorry.
No, I'm just saying, and the best part is it's like I keep telling you guys, every single time they come in here and they're trying to do the obvious thing. They're trying to hack. Like they brought in a whole bunch of hacking fleets yesterday. They got nowhere. Those got all dumpstered. So what do? They drop another Asbel and then, we did it. We did it, guys. We dropped another Asbel. This was really, we really brought 1300 people here to fight you to drop like the 37th Asbel. Not a single one of them has been defended. They've all died in a fire. They did it again. So, I mean, as far as I can tell, and what you're seeing behind us right now, these are some screenshots from last night. Thank you to Galileo 007 for getting us some awesome screenshots of the fights. Unfortunately, obviously, Mittens and I like to have our offices up, so you can't see all of that stuff. I'll try to put these up at some point on the Metashow Discord.
Yeah, on the INN Discord and the Metashow channel, we'll post those. You guys can find them there.
Pictures up there so you can see it. We're kind of at the end. There is one thing I needed to do.
What's that?
Well, we hadn't had a chance. Delta Squad had a message for Pappy, and I wanted to play it.
This is so fucking cool. I love Delta Squad. These guys are
guys,
amazing.
They did this. This is for you.
I'm so fucking proud of Delta Squad. Goonie as fuck.
So here we go. Pappy, this is a message from Delta Squad to you.
Hey everyone, Kenny G here with a friendly reminder from Delta Squad that CSM elections are coming up. And here's a special message to all the Pappy pilots out there. Delta Squad wants to have sex with you. I'm pretty sure that's where I come in. I hope you enjoy this song.
Hey.
Good luck. Hey, everyone. Kenny G here.
There you
with
go.
A friendly
Thank you
reminder.
To Kenny G for our Delta Squad message to Pappy. We want to have sex with you. And as you noted, CSM elections are coming up. Vote for Brisk. All right. Thank you, guys. That has been the Meta Show for Saturday, May the 22nd, 2021. I'm Brisker Ball, joined by the Mitanni. We had a lot of fun this week.
Yes, we did.
We had a little herfing and blurfing, a little smacking the CCP around.
I was nice to Pappy this week, but CCP fucked up, and so they got the black shirt, you know?
Right, that's it. Thank you, guys. We will see you next time for the Meta Show next week. Every time you want to watch the Meta Show, you can watch it here on the VOD on twitch.tv/Imperium News. You can watch it on our YouTube channel, Imperium News. And don't forget, the podcast goes up tomorrow. If you just want the audio, you won't be able to see my magnificent beard, but you will get to hear us talking and herfing blurfs. So if you want to do that, you can watch it listen to it on the podcast tomorrow as soon as Life Shifter gets it up. He wanted me to remind you guys to do that. We're going to see you all next time. You stay classy, New Eden.